News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Starting today, more than 150,000 people will receive emails from President Biden telling them their student loan debts have been forgiven.
I'm happy to have been able to forgive these loans because when we realize and relieve Americans of their student debt, they're free to chase their dreams.
The president in California today, a White House official confirmed it's looking into executive action to toughen asylum restrictions. A New York City woman's been sentenced to 27 years in prison in the hit and run death of an NYPD detective. Patrick Hendry, president of the Police Benevolent Association.
Today is justice, but it's not a day of joy. Or closure.
Prosecutors say Jessica Beauvais admitted to drinking and smoking marijuana before the 2021 incident. The University of Alabama at Birmingham hospitals paused IVF treatments as healthcare providers weighed the impact of a state court decision that said frozen embryos are the equivalent of children. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin businesses suffering losses due to the warm, dry winter can apply for federal disaster loans. The U.S. Small Business Administration says its disaster coverage will extend to businesses hurt by the lack of winter weather this season. Businesses that cater to outdoor recreation are especially hard hit. Eric Hovde is officially in the race for U.S. Senate. He made his campaign announcement yesterday on social media.
Our country is facing enormous challenges. Our economy, our healthcare, crime, and open borders. Everything is going in the wrong direction. All Washington does is divide us and talk about who's to blame.
Of the Republicans in the race, Hovde presents the most formidable challenge to incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Superior Mayor Jim Payne has announced a proposal to use his state and local fiscal recovery funds around the area. According to a Northern News Now report, Mayor Payne proposed using over $2.25 million for parks, public works, and improving downtown Superior. He also proposed using $1 million for street projects and $300,000 to rebuild the Heritage Skate Park. He says his goal is to spend the rest of that funding by the end of the year to give the city a new and improved look. The search for an 86-year-old man in Pine County who had been missing since January has been called off. According to the Pine County Sheriff's Office, search crews found the remains of Gerald Knapp on Tuesday morning with the help of drone search images in the Nemaji State Forest. Knapp's car was found on February 1st, and over the weekend, his friends and family organized a large search party in hopes of finding him. Knapp lived with dementia and was reportedly going to his favorite diner when he went missing. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Woody is back in the clubhouse. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff signs a two-year deal with a third-year option to return to the crew. He had surgery on his shoulder last October and was asked, how's he doing so far?
I'm just a little bit over 4 months in. I started a throwing program last week, and that's been going good. It's a slow and steady progression, but as of right now, I feel good. I feel completely normal. Now it's just all about getting my shoulder back used to, you know, the stresses that we do day in and day out. But as of right now, I'm doing great, just following protocol, and you know, look forward to getting out to Maryvale and getting with the staff and continuing that build up. So, but as far as 4 months in, man, I'm doing good.
No timetable yet if he could return this year. The Brewers also officially signing catcher Gary Sanchez to a one-year contract. College basketball, Marquette at home tonight. They take on the DePaul Blue Demons. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 20s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, high in the mid 40s. Mostly sunny and low 30s, cooler on Friday. For the weekend, breezy Saturday, low 40s, mid 40s Sunday with lots of sun. Right now it's 43.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Been reminding you all week, get the Civic Media app. For those of you who are out there going, I don't know where to find Tim and Johnny when I'm in Finland, when I'm in Iceland, when I'm in Africa. You got it on, hey, when you're in Milwaukee, when you're in Waukesha, when you're in Hayward, when you're in Seattle. The Civic Media app, Johnny, it's the solution, man. You just pull it up, go to Google Play, go to the App Store, download it, put it in there, press on it, and boom, you are listening to Busted Pencils wherever you are. You know, and all of the Civic Media shows that are out there, grab the Civic Media app, 844, though, hey, 967-2789. And yes, it is, you know, we're just getting people used to it, but it is Busted Pencils Wednesday. And it is special Educators Amplified Wednesday. Every Wednesday, Busted Pencils and Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie are joining us. We're going to be talking about this. Johnny Lupinacci.
What's happening?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's, you know, it's Wednesday. It's midweek. It's one of my favorite days of the week because we have our guests, our regular guests, Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna in the house. I already love Wednesdays, but I extra love Wednesdays now because it's the midweek. It's when I, you know, when I know like how to gauge the rest of my energy to get me through teaching through Friday. And I'm happy because I'm feeling full energy. We're midweek. Lots of exciting guests, great topics, awesome callers this week. And my favorite night of the week, Educators Amplified Wednesdays here with us. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, how are you both doing?
I'm doing all right. I guess I'm feeling pretty good for a Wednesday. You know, here in Wisconsin, I feel bad for Mother Nature because like it's confusing weather. It's like 60 warm. It feels good. And yes, I'm always excited to be here with you guys on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Teacher Hallie, come on.
Sorry. I'm listening. I was reflecting about the weather as well. We're all over the place, but no, I'm doing well too. I'm always energized and excited to be here. So
you never have to worry about that. Hey, and callers, you're out there, you're energized. Just give you the number again, 844-967-2789. Yes. Every Wednesday, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified are joining us on the show, Busted Pencils Live. All the time, every Wednesday, they will be here bringing the boots on the ground look at the things that are happening in schools. And boy, what a, you know, lots going on. And we went with the topic. I'm just going to hit right off of one of the headlines out here. Milwaukee Public Schools asks voters for $250 million in an April referendum. I'll quote from this. Wisconsin voters will decide on millions of dollars in funding for school referendums during the 24 elections on April 2nd, Milwaukee Public Schools, the state's largest district, is one district asking voters to approve a referendum. Leaders are looking for $252 million over 4 years. We had a show, Referendum the 101. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, why does, tell, give us an understanding, why a referendum, why $242 million? It's a public school. Why don't they have what they need?
Yeah.
Well, gosh, as you were reading the headline, I'm like, dang it. I hate how kind of the headline is of like, you know, that we do have to ask, because this is really due to, there is a $7 billion surplus in our state that could
be
used.
Billion.
And instead of, you know, getting the proper funding that we were needing back in June when the state budget was passed, that didn't come through. So now there are many districts in the state of Wisconsin who are forced to go to referendum. And that's our situation in Milwaukee. We're forced to go to referendum, not because we want to build something fancy, not because, you know, we're looking to add on some extra opportunities. Right now, this referendum in Milwaukee Public Schools is to stay alive, is to keep our school district functioning and able to offer great programming for students.
See, and that's what we want to put out there. The referendum, and you say the headline, you know, voters asking $242 million. It sounds excessive. It sounds like, what kind of extras are you looking for? And the reality is here, let's frame this for the right thing. The referendums that are occurring all over Wisconsin here coming up in April, and some that happened last night. These are because of, put this out of there, the public shorting, or the shorting of public monies that are supposed to be going to public schools, and that the only way schools can make the budget work is by going out and saying, asking the taxpayers for more money. Because, as you point out now too, in Wisconsin, a billion, that's Dr. Evil billion surplus, we're not going to allocate the money to the schools the way we're supposed to, even though fair funding has been, you know, decided at the Supreme Court, all these ideas, we're still not going to give you money. Milwaukee Public Schools, it's not $240 million in excess, as Joanna, Teacher Joanna says, it's $240 million to just sustain the normal operating costs to deliver a public education.
Yeah, the compounded disinvestment in our schools. And I don't know if everybody, you know, obviously it's real to me because I've been in schools for the past 28 years and I'm very aware. I don't know, you know, like I live across the street from a school, and I don't know if everybody else in my neighborhood really understand, you know, like the school's still there. It appears to still be operating. So I don't know if that looks like, you know, to someone outside of the field, like, hey, it's good. Like the building's there, it looks decent. Kids are going in and out. Bus is coming, all's well. But definitely myself, being a public educator for the past 28 years, I'm aware of this long-term disinvestment and the failure to keep up with the rates of inflation and invest in our schools. It's just been compounded. And now we are to the point where, again, there are dozens and dozens and dozens, and it's the norm to go to referendum now in the state of Wisconsin.
Is that by design? Go ahead, Teacher Hallie.
Well, I was just going to say that what always gets me too is, right, like 90% of students go to a public school. So this is also like, this isn't just like, hey, I'm a teacher and I'm upset, you know, like, you know, like, whatever. I mean, I started teaching at Act 10 when that's what I heard, that the only reason we rallied was because we just wanted more money. But I am just more like, 90% we're talking about, that's a huge percentage of students attend public schools, and with an $8 billion surplus.
Seven.
Oh,
seven billion. Okay. Well, my, that's, and remember, that's B. B as in billion, Dr. Evil.
I mean, that was a huge number to be off by. So thank you. But to have a $7 billion surplus, it's just you're not giving to 90% of children. You know what I mean? Like, I my brain can't fathom it.
Teacher Joanna, go
no,
ahead.
And we started to, like, as parents, like, my son is now, like, you know, he's graduated from college, okay? And in his whole career, he just graduated in May. In his whole education, he was never in school at a time where they received enough money. Like, that's two decades that he only attended school at a time where there was disinvestment. So that's all my children have known. And sadly, I think that's all they're going to know. Mm-hmm. Unless we turn this thing around.
Well, hey, we got a caller, though. L.A. Tom giving us a call right away. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations. And we must wake up and realize this by getting money out of politics. Second, I really think when it comes to these referendum, and I think that you guys are, Teacher Joanna and Hallie are saying it exactly correct, that first off, it's almost like it's a bother for people instead of something that actually makes the democracy better, makes the country work better, makes a great return on investment. So I think what you should be doing is instead of saying, okay, this referendum is $2 billion or $165,000 or whatever it is, you should be breaking that down per person in a district. And you should be saying, right now you're paying $150, a week or a month, whatever it is, right? And break it down to the people so they understand. You know that football shoulder pads that you need, or if it's sports or whatever it might be. That's what that's paying for, is one more kid to be able to be involved in extracurricular activities, which actually is a big payoff in terms of that, or their education. And here is the return on investment from that. Rather than just going on about these big numbers, we should be breaking that down in terms of this is how much it is, and this is the return on investment to you as a society to have this money being spent in this way. And that's the way they should be doing all the programs, instead of saying, it's these big dollar amounts. The only people that do big dollar amounts are probably the billionaire class that's buying all the politicians.
Mm. L.A. Tom dropping some heat there tonight. Look at that.
Love it.
Well, teacher Hallie, go ahead. You had the comment there, it looks like.
Well, no, I always appreciate, like, a breaking down of what it actually means. You know, mm-hmm. you hear 252 million and you're like, that's a lot of money. What do they need that for? You know, so I don't know why I have this voice today, but I just always appreciate, though, like, the sense of putting it into terms that make sense to people. So I was just vibing.
Well, and something I just learned recently, I didn't know this, that school districts actually have to hire firms to help them figure out the referendum. So now maybe I'm thinking that messaging is really coming from the bank or the whoever helped them put it together.
Oh, for sure.
And we need some L.A. Tom suggestions on the scene.
Right. Or so you need some teachers a part of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. 844-967-2789. It is Educators Amplified Wednesday. Our guests every Wednesday, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, talking about referendums, particularly across the state of Wisconsin. However, in your state, if that's happening, give us a call, 844-967-2789. When we get back, though, we're going to get a little bit...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfheim, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on Lake Air, 107.5 FM WLAK.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matinair.
And we hold the world ransom for $1 million.
Well, don't you think we should maybe ask for more than $1 million? $1 million isn't exactly a lot of money these days. Virtucon alone makes over $9 billion a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Okay, then. We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
$1 billion, Dr. Evil. There he is on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Love it when Dr. Evil shows up. 844-967-2789. Educators Amplified Wednesday. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. L.A. Tom calling us during the first segment. Referendums, $242 million. Now, L.A. Tom was saying, though, we should start framing these numbers differently. And I was thinking, okay, so without the $242 million, what would happen? And so do we frame this as saying we're asking for not for $242 million, it's money to make sure that we have art class, to make sure that we have. So framing it in the, you know, the reason why is because without this, you know, maybe we're going to go back to leather football helmets. Johnny, I see Johnny jumping in there.
Yeah, because we like to talk about numbers that get tossed around. It's framed, and Teacher Joanna brought this up at the beginning. It's often framed as though it sounds like there's just teachers and school leaders in schools standing there with their hand out, like, give us money. And that's a really big problem. I'd like to back out a little bit because that's, one, not what's happening. We're discussing here that this is necessary money to fund education. And mostly, we talked about this week, we had guests on talking about referendums, about, you know, the privatization or the defunding of public education. And this is tied to that, right? Most of us just imagine, most of us, I'm saying, like, I'm going to generalize, not experts on education or people who study or live this as part of their profession. But most of us hear this discussion, and referendums often don't pass because we're not informed about why they are necessary. They are every way imperative because we've defunded schools. Schools are not being funded as they once were. So maybe when you went to school, if you're listening and you're thinking about, well, I'm not going to vote for this levy or this bond, and I'll get into those, because referendum is a word that refers to levies and bonds, right? And it's additional, we think of it as additional funding that schools need. However, we don't often talk about is that the budgets have cut back the absolute necessity to fund a school and put the pressure on school districts and local schools to do referendums to make up that difference, right? And so we've defunded public education in most states, and Wisconsin is experiencing this too. And we talked a little bit about the history of that on Monday night, right? And we'll have guests back on talking about how did that happen, especially in Wisconsin, right? It's such an important case. Like, how did in the 90s this really start? And what really are the monumental moments when most of schools' budgets were funded by taxpayers' dollars that went through the state and got distributed to schools? Not evenly. We talked about that. Like, we didn't really have it figured out in a fair way. But one of the shifts became is not only did we not really figure out how to do that fairly, instead of figuring out how to fund public schools fairly, we started to come up with this free market model that, you know, we've been talking about, privatizing schools, where we reduced the amount. We did budget cuts for what we'd allocate to public schools, and then said, hey, but you can make up the difference by having voters, like having initiatives that are levies and bonds, right? A referendum, additional, like, I hate even calling it additional money because that's an illusion, right? We pulled back on what we'd fund, what was funded to schools, and then said, hey, there are ways you can make up the difference by passing, like putting on the ballot levies and bonds. We can get back into what's the difference between a levy and a bond in a little bit, because I don't want to get too into the details. But I always have this beef. It's everywhere where teachers end up positioned, especially in media. Like we're out there saying, we need more. We need more. We want this. Like we're some spoiled brats out there wanting like more, because everybody wants more. But this is not even about wanting more. This isn't about extra. This is about, like you said, Tim, when you're talking about the helmets and the different things, but it really is about the basics. Do we want public funded education and public schools to have the necessities that constitute a good education or not? And so it's not asking for more. It's sort of having to like forced asks, right? Through taxpayer dollars that before levies and bonds were a big thing. Right. This was sort of how states funded education.
Teacher Joanne, I see you there.
Well, the reality is we've been here before in terms of, so in Milwaukee Public Schools, what we've got on the line right now is that if we don't pass our referendum, our children really do stand to lose what we call specials, music, art, gym. And there's more. And that's not me being like sky is falling. Like that is what they stand to lose. And I became an education advocate when the same exact thing happened when my son was 4 years old and Milwaukee Public Schools did eliminate specials. And my children went through several years of no music, art, and physical education in their schools. And we fought to get that back, and we fought to get little pieces of funding to bring that back, and now we stand in the same exact place.
So it's a reality of saying, like, yeah, this isn't extra funding. This is funding so that kids can have a public education, an education. Teacher Hallie.
Well, I just want to offer just a quick little insert too. I know that we've been talking about Milwaukee Public Schools, but I do want to point out this is happening in our suburbs and rural schools as well.
Absolutely.
You know, like I think sometimes some can get guilty of just pointing like, oh, that's just in the city. But just the other day, I was talking to an art teacher who has been working in the same district for over 20 years. And she's an art teacher. And she's like, we have 7 art teachers in the district. And in the past we had 17. You know, like those are cuts as well. I just want to point that out, that this is a problem for all children.
But these are cuts. And Johnny, I like the way you put that. This is the reason we're here is decades of defunding. And Teacher Joanna gives us that reality of going, in fact, my own children did not have the other thing, too, let's stop calling them specials.
I know,
art, music, they're essentials. You know,
the kids
didn't get these, you know, it's like, you know, if you don't get music and you don't get, that's an essential of being educated. These aren't specials. Mm-hmm. It's special. What's special is that in this country, in Wisconsin, in your state, we believe in public education. And the reality here is that we need to be doing more. Right now, the referendums are what we need to make sure that kids have the art, kids have the music, kids have the specials, kids have the ability when they go to art class to actually have paint that they can use to do painting projects, that they can have clay, that we don't have teachers running around trying to say, hey, take your art paper, let's cut it in half so that the next class can have paper. Rationing supplies. You see this. You're saying this is what we're dealing with here today, people. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie.
This is Dom from the Devil's Advocates. Tune in on Thursday. Our pal James Santel, former U.S. attorney, is going to join us, and we're going to get into the Alexander Smirnoff issue.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees. Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer.
Governor Evers is still the governor, and he'll still be the governor next session. It's been 5 years, and I'm still waiting for all of you to get used to that.
Yesterday's firings include former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton from the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board and Todd Ames from the Natural Resources Board. A proposed constitutional amendment would stop Wisconsin governors from raising taxes or fees on their own. The last straw for Republicans was when Governor Evers used his line item veto to raise school spending for 400 years. Yesterday's vote in the Assembly was the first step in the plan. It needs to pass the legislature again next year, then go to a statewide referendum. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior City Council held discussions regarding the future of the Royalton Manor apartment complex on Tuesday. According to a Northern News Now report, tenants of the property are concerned that a change in ownership could change their qualifications to stay in the complex. Ownership of the assisted living building is being transferred to DRE Incorporated, and officials from the organization assured residents they will work to not displace people. Residents were also concerned about the renovation of the complex. A Duluth man has been arrested for possessing multiple illegal drugs, including 1 kilogram of fentanyl. The Lake Superior Violent Offender Task Force made the arrest just before 6 a.m. on Monday, taking 43-year-old Deontay Shields into custody. Officers allegedly found over $33,000 in cash and multiple fake IDs. Police then executed a search warrant at Shields' home in the Duluth Heights neighborhood and allegedly found 1 kilogram of fentanyl, crack cocaine, methamphetamine, and a loaded pistol. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbus Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Beyonce? A country music star? Yes, indeed. And if that weren't enough, the genre-hopping singer has the number one song on the country charts called Texas Hold'em. Variety reports that this is the first time a black woman has topped the country music charts, and according to Billboard, she is the only black woman ever to hit number one on both country and the hot R&B hip-hop charts. Other artists who have achieved that feat are Justin Bieber, Billy Ray Cyrus, and Ray Charles. Kind of cool. Fans of the Gilmore Girls have flocked to Amazon to pre-order a copy of The Third Gilmore by Kelly Bishop, who played Emily Gilmore, the family matriarch. She's written a book about her experiences that promises never-before-heard stories. The Gilmore Girls helped put the WB network on the map and helped Bishop move from Broadway to TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 20s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, high in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny and low 30s, cooler on Friday. For the weekend, breezy Saturday, low 40s, mid-40s Sunday with lots of sun. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Todd Allbus Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is the Shaw, 540 AM.
It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. It is Wednesday. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, talking referendums in the state of Wisconsin. And the phone lines lit up. We're going to get to everybody here as we can. Glenda from Madison. What's happening, Glenda? You are on Busted Pencils.
Great. Thank you. Well, I really want to say a couple of things, but one is that I was a music teacher in public schools for many, many years and have found the problem with financing over and over and over again everywhere I've been. But the one goal I had was for children to become well-rounded at students, where we in music class, we would learn about music and cultures and turning them into readers and mathematicians. All of that came into my music class. And I think that happens with all specials. It needs to be well-rounded, not just left brain, but right brain as well. That's a huge factor. The other thing I wanted to bring up, this is from the beginning of your show, your talk show, is the issue of right now, I think the surplus at the state level is somewhere between $3 and $4 billion. And the legislature is talking time and time again about sending that money back to the taxpayers. But in the meantime, we have districts, school districts, not just Milwaukee, but other districts, asking the taxpayers for more money to survive. So I think that's a really funny hypocrisy, and I've been trying to figure that one out for a while now.
Well, Glenn, we are always trying to figure that one out for a lot of times out there. Thank you, Glenda. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. Appreciate your support.
Enough for your years of teaching.
And you are not a special teacher, Glenda. You are an essential teacher teaching music. An essential. Kathy from Cambridge. What's happening, Kathy?
Yeah, so I'm a first-time caller, and I'm saying the same thing last caller did, that they are sitting on $4 billion, and they will not release any to our public schools. I mean, that's ridiculous. And even when they were supposed to release, like, $130 million to the bipartisan pass for the UW here in Wisconsin, they helped, and they decided to wait until some diversity inclusion thing was taken out. I mean, what's this Ann Button or when it's already passed? This Republican-led legislation in Wisconsin's got to go. We need to get to the voting booth and vote these guys out.
Dropping some pain on the certain legislature. Hey, new maps, though, coming in Wisconsin. We'll get to that. That might actually allow some ability to go there. And again, going right to it, Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, what's happening?
Well, I'm kind of on board with the last two callers. And if all these people that had referendums on their ballots would call the Republican legislators and tell them, we are tired of having to fund our schools by out of our own pockets, when you have this $4 million surplus or $1 billion surplus, whatever it is, it's time to take that money and put it back into our education system. This is just absolutely absurd. And I know why the Republicans are doing this. They want the schools to fail so they can turn them over to public or private interests and turn them into, you know, private schools. They don't want public schools anymore. They don't want children to be educated. They want them all to be brainwashed.
Thank you for that truth bomb. It's painful. It hurts, but she is right. I mean, this is the reality here too, is going, why is this happening? It's not because we, quote, can't afford it or anything. This is intentionality to create, as Johnny was saying, the market forces to go in and create a private education system. It is not only a defunding of public education, it's an absolute devaluing of the foundation of democracy, which it is public education. It is defunding democracy when you don't fund your public schools. You are defunding democracy. Teacher Hallie, you got something there.
Oh, I just want to say thanks to all of our callers. That's exciting. I love hearing from the people. And just kind of a response back to I encourage our listeners, whether you called in or not, and whether you're well-versed or kind of like oh my gosh, I didn't realize this was going on, that Joanne and I had an episode on Educators Amplified, specifically amplifying the rally when we came out to the Capitol in Madison to explain like what's going on. And really specifically that podcast episode is hearing from more educators about the impacts of not getting the funding, which I guess we know now we didn't get the funding, but it's still good to go back and hear even more about, you know, the perspective of educators. So check it out. It's a May 2023 episode, Amplifying the Rally.
Amplifying the Rally, Educators Amplified. That's why they're here on Wednesdays, though. I mean, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, giving it, making it real. Teacher Joanna, your comments there.
Well, just hearing the callers, honestly, it was very personal to me to feel heard. So thanks, Wisconsin listeners and Civic Media listeners. This is something I wasn't expecting in terms of how good hearing the callers and feeling understood about what is happening. Because, again, as teachers, we don't get to hear that. We're not in positions. We can feel insulated in terms of being like, oh my God, does anybody even realize what's happening here? And so, yes, sounds like there's great advocacy groups out here. And the women throughout Wisconsin, as our callers, just demonstrated, are aware. And so when we know as a collective body that the money is there, but it's just not being put into our schools, right? Will we show up? Will we turn out? Will our kids, the schools and the education that they deserve?
Deserve. And as Johnny keeps pointing out to me, it's their right. It's not even deserve. It's their right. It's their child. Absolutely. It's their human. It's a human right that we put out there.
It actually is, right? We know about that. If we value human rights, and within that, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, so children's rights, like we acknowledge children as humans, right? Then all these things we're talking to aren't things we should be asking for. They are the role of government to provide. And I love that our callers and everyone here has reminded us that when it comes down to it, our civic duty as voters, wherever you identify in groups on that, is to understand the importance of these issues, right? They are how we fund and basically the investment we make on the quality of democracy in our communities when we fund our public schools. And so it is every way a matter of our voting, our need to vote, right, on these referendums to pass them, as well as, like our callers reminded us, our need to reach out to our legislators and make sure they know public schools matter to us as voters, to our, like the constituents are saying, we care about schools, we care about children and their rights to an education, right? And they represent that then at the legislative level. Ideally, we know that isn't always true. So we have to have rallies and meetings, which is really important, exercising our civic duty beyond voting.
Well, and I would say in every community where there is a referendum occurring, there is a group that is supporting it, you know, or has like a vote yes committee. And so please support those groups by either donating to them or signing up to engage in advocacy in some way, whether that is like, I'm just going to commit to talking to this many people, or I really am going to go knock doors, or I'm willing to drop off literature throughout the community. I'm willing to go to this event and host a table to talk about things. So if you are in a community that is having a referendum and you agree with our callers, please find that group and donate your time, because so much of those efforts in a way do actually sometimes fall on the public teachers themselves. And we're in a low to no gas situation out here. And so
Educators Amplified Busted Pencils Wednesdays. Lots of gas. Well, I mean, 844-967-2789. I mean, we've got full tanks is what I'm talking about.
Less hot air than when it's just you have
energy. I'm like, let's just talk about,
you know, put it there. But okay, so my
clean
neighbor
energy,
though.
Clean energy.
My neighbor has a question though.
My neighbor is saying, you know, you can't see it on the live feed, but he's behind me right here going, but why do I have to pay more taxes if the money is already there and it needs to be fun? Why are you making me give up my money when the money is there and it's just not being appropriated the right way? My neighbor wants to know how you can help him figure out how he wrestles with this, because he's like, I don't want to pay any more money when I know that there is money. It's just not getting there. How do we help him? Oh, I see stump faces.
Well, that sounds like Johnny would have a great answer to that.
Uh-oh. I see John. Oh, Teacher Hallie, jump in there.
I don't know. I got a hard time with your neighbor.
Hallie's going to scratch your neighbor, Tim.
Well, I'm going to have to bring Teacher Hallie's going to come talking to my neighbor. Okay.
No, I just am more like, we can play this tit for tat game. You know, like, it just seems like a low ball. I don't know. Like, no disrespect. I get people, you know, work and all that. But I am like, you know, I keep swirling around this concept, though, of like, these are essentials. These are not like, you know, like, what I mean by the tit for tat is like, I could be like, right, as an educator, and why do we have to beg for money? And why do we have this? And why do we that? And, you know, so it's more of this like coming together concept. It's more about the bigger picture than it is just about like an individual's pocketbook.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, he's trying to make the point, though. He's sitting over here. He's, you know, talking in my shoulder, just saying, he's like, I love my public schools. I love Friday night football. I'm there all the time. I get bratwurst with mustard every Friday night. I love being there. Thing is though, if I'm going to spend money on bratwurst on Friday night football, I need a little bit more money in my pocketbook. And if I have to give it in a referendum when the state is sitting on billions, that's Dr. Evil, billions of dollars. He's just trying to, and this, I think, Johnny, you feed in here, but then my neighbor needs to get civically active. Is that the Johnny Lupinacci advice?
I mean, kind of. I mean, I think it's fair to say this is a lot. Like, your neighbor has a question that a lot of people feel, and it's been framed this way for, I'll just say, for voters. The responsibility gets put on, you know, individuals, and this is a bigger problem culturally. It's across the country with school funding. Is there has been a massive, you know, push to individualize it, to localize it, and to say like, well, if you want to, you can ask people locally to vote a particular way and their money can go this way. We're not like, this ought to not be a decision made at individual local levels. It should be made at the state level, right? Public schools are part of a state funded initiative, and it should be dealt with in the budget that way. That's not to say that there isn't local voice in that form of representative democracy. But instead, what's happening in LA, Tom calls in and reminds us this. So this is what your neighbor, I would reframe your neighbor's question to really be like, I think we're on the same page. You're frustrated. We're frustrated. And who's responsible? And really, who is responsible is at the state level, budgets to schools were cut. Hmm. We're cutting back and really like we're trimming back necessities from, and then saying, if you want to make up the difference for what we've cut, you can run these initiatives on your local ballots, right? And then what happens is your neighbor understands that he's got to pay, or they've got to pay more money in their taxes, or they've got to pay more local property taxes, got to go up and different things. So really, it's the state level sticking it to the local, right? And so what I really want to say is, how do we all advocate? And some of our callers said that. How do we all advocate to come together to say, stop putting it on us? The cost of living is going up for everybody. The role of government is to provide these absolute essentials, and schools are part of it. So fund our schools from the state level. Take it from the big pot of money that you already do from all of our paychecks and make it happen. Stop putting it on us individually.
Oh, Johnny Lupinacci.
Hold on, Johnny, to respond.
There it is.
Well, here it is. You know, the systems that be want your neighbor and Hallie to fight, and I want them both to be pissed off and not to fight each other, but to fight the system that got us in that.
Right. Join me, neighbor.
Busted pencils when we get back. Yeah, Facebook Rico is going to be Caller Rico. Right, oh, when we get back. Busted pencils.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Ah, yes. The heavy, heavy, heavy busted pencil. That is music to truly bust pencils by. Educators, Amplified are in the house on Wednesday. It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, and truly, truly, truly educated educators talking education, referendums, taxes. My neighbor, he's so annoying, but Johnny helped him out. Oh. Johnny, he said, hey, he wants to get a beer with you. So well, there it is.
Hey, man, your neighbor is a voice of many. I know a lot of people, even close to education, who are really fed up with referendums and levies and bonds, and they're so important, but they get framed in a way where it seems like it's going to cost us all more, and it really shouldn't. That's the real move here. It got put on the common, like the everyday neighbor to shoulder this responsibility or to feel the guilt or pain from it, and really it ought to be at the state level.
And man, phones are just blowing up. Rico, Facebook, Rico, what's happening, Rico?
Hey, how you guys doing, huh?
All right.
Loving it. Hey, yeah, first time caller, long time listener. Hey,
nice.
You know, I'm going to stay on subject here, but I tend to veer a little bit here and there. And while staying on subject, I just come at it from a little teeny different perspective, but I want to see if there's some listeners out there that agree with me. Now, we've taken this whole thing that you guys talked about tonight with the referendums and everything like that, and we all have heard about that. But I want to tell you, does anybody else have a problem with putting the onus of this issue on our children? And what I mean by that is by sending them out into the public selling pizzas and cookies and, you know, hey, Papa can't buy 100 boxes of cookies from you, you know, so that you can win an Xbox of all things, you know. And you know, because like Kaylee brought up earlier, and I love that comment, 90% of them are going to public school. So once you sell these cookies to grandma, grandpa, and your aunts and your uncles and everybody else in your family, you're not going to sell them to the next door neighbor because his kid's selling them too. And I only have so big of a freezer. My freezer's only so big. That's what I had to tell him last time. I said, how many cookies you got to sell to get that Xbox? We did the math. I actually worked on math with him. And I said, you realize Papa would have to buy 100 boxes of cookies for $1,000. I'll just go to Walmart and buy you the damn Xbox. Okay, how's that sound?
Papa Rico dropping it, loving it. Oh yeah, the fundraisers. I know, I get it all the time. Yeah, and you
but
know.
I love his point that it's putting it on the kids, like they're out here having to hustle for the things in their schools.
Yeah, putting on the hustle. And hey, taller, another caller, Tom from Grafton. Tom, what's happening?
Hi. I agree with you that public education has been short shifted as far as the what they get from the state. And I'm wondering, has anyone ever done a study to see how much they'd have to give back or give to education to bring it up what it should have been, or like say around you know, 2005 or so before they, you know, got to be popular to really, you know, start cutting public education in Wisconsin. Would it be $500,000? I mean, $500 million or a couple billion or how much has public education been shafted?
It's a lot. I do not know that number right offhand. I'm looking at all of us here, and I think could probably.
I think that WPEN does have that number. Yeah. I don't know it offhand.
That's Wisconsin Public Education Network. In fact, we had them on Monday night. Wisconsin Public Education Network. If you're listening out there and you have that number, but go, Teacher Joanna, you're pretty sure with that. Here's the other thing, though. People say how much money is due and should be due. I'm going to kind of play the other part and go, and the fact that in 2005 and 2006 and 2007, and how about the accumulated interest and the pain and suffering that was caused over those years of defunding? Let's put a little bit of that money on top of the price tag of saying, this is what the kids, the teachers, the communities, this is what they're owed. This is their right to an education. Oh, I got confused looks on my faces there.
No, we were feeling with you, Tim. What are you talking about?
I know. Yeah, again, liven it up for the heck of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I was going to try to see if I could Google the WPEN number. I couldn't find it that quick.
Well, no, I think it's a good thing for us to look into. I mean, it helps. We're throwing numbers out there, how much are being asked for and how much, like millions and billions here and this much on. We have the money here. You know, it'd be great. And I think that WPN, if they don't have it, they'll know exactly who does. Because our caller Tom brought up a good question. Like, someone's researched this, because you have to know the numbers. I mean, I'm speaking in broad terms. It's a shortfalling that gets pitched as a gap and gets put on districts or local elections to fix with levies and bonds, right? And so that puts a certain constraint on school leadership. It puts people in a difficult position of what will children have and not have. And I also really like what Papa Rico called in and said, like when we think about this, like we're constantly in schools put in the position to be asking for money and sending kids out to get it in all kinds of ways. Fund this, fund that, fund this, fund that. Again, because we've cut back what funding.
And I have always dreamed of the day of, like, what would it actually be like as an educator to be like, you're going to get this amount of money to use in your classroom. Like, you're going to get, like, I don't know how many meetings we've sat through where we have to figure out what can go. And I'm doing finger quotes right now, right? Like, I've been a part of so many processes of what to cut back. And I used to sit there and almost like fantasize about like what the joy would be of having things added. Like, what is that experience like to be like, what to do be you need?
How about this? Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, what do you need?
What do we need? What do we want?
Well, I mean, just putting that, framing it that way, Hallie, right?
Sure. Sorry, I was trying to do math and listen at the same time. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, the point here is that, as Teacher Joanna was saying, you know, we're always part of the process of cutting, even, you know, what don't we need? What don't we? And well, the thing is, we need everything, but we're actually making to frame this and coming from the money coming to the day where you go, what do you need to allow the children to have the right, the essentials to a basic education? Let's start there. What do you need to bring us up to providing the basic human rights of an education? That's what we do on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk every Wednesday. Lots and lots of
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Biden administration is considering executive action to toughen asylum restrictions.